I really can't
but
stay.
But baby, it's cold outside.
I've gotta go away.
But baby, it's cold outside.
Been hoping that
you. Been hoping that you'd drop in.
So very nice.
I'll hold your hands, they're just like
my
ice.
My mother will start.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning, baby, it's cold outside.
There is no better song to lead off our show than that.
That one.
Because baby, it is cold outside.
Brr. Welcome to Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. You know, this time is the time for the garden line with Mike Wiggins.
Here we are.
Mike, I don't want to do any gardening today. I just got to tell you. I just got to confess. I'm not going to be outside.
What?
You know.
What? What? Meg, come on. Come on. Put on your mittens and go out and
you should. I look like
do something.
I look like Nanook of the North this morning. I have on clothes.
Well, look
and
at
I
me.
Have,
I've got a sweater, a shirt, a jacket.
It's 4 of 10 layers of clothes.
I really don't like this weather.
Oh, gosh.
I just declare that. It's just,
yep, you're, I'm with you, my friend.
I have a lot of people that they say, Mike, you're nuts. You know, it's nice change.
Nope. No.
And I don't mind the cooler weather.
Cooler's good.
Cold is not good. I think I told you, I lived in Chicago for a couple of years.
Right.
And I love Chicago. I mean, what
great
a,
city.
It's an exciting city and great sports and everything about it is really a cool city. I could never live there permanently, I don't think, because it was so cold. I think I told you the story. I would be living in Chicago and I would call home just to check on the folks to see how they were doing. And I would call and say, what are y'all up to? I said, we got to run. We're headed to the beach to do a little surf fishing and just sit on the beach. What are you doing, Mike?
Freezing.
Shoveling snow.
Exactly.
Which has turned black.
Yeah. And then, well, I'll tell you, I lived in New York City for many, many years. And so I think living up there, I lived there 15 years. So eventually you do get thicker blood. You do. It doesn't seem as bad as it does.
It must be that
There's
way.
Something about it. Exactly. But I will tell you, when it would snow in Manhattan and in that first hour after, and it was just silent. There was no noise.
Right.
It was white and beautiful. And then the next morning,
slush
and puddles and ice and it was just awful.
Exactly.
So
well,
I don't miss that part.
We're going to get through this. There's absolutely no doubt about it. It's just everybody needs to be careful. We need to look at a couple of things. One, let's look ahead. I looked on my phone, on the Weather Channel on my phone.
Right.
And just to see what the low temperatures were going to be.
It's not looking good.
Forward.
I was watching the news last night.
Here's where I've got it. I had Monday, the low was 20, it's going to be 20, it was 23. Tonight, the low is 31.
Yikes.
Wednesday, the low of 31. Thursday, the low of 43, heat wave. Friday, back to 30. And then next Saturday, back to 22.
Wow.
With a little rain on Friday.
That is, have we had this kind of weather before?
This is unusual.
I think so, too. I don't remember it ever being. I remember a day or two when a front would come through, or maybe we would get that dip of northern weather, but for a day?
Yeah.
This is going on. It'll be 2 weeks now?
Oh, exactly. And we always say, especially when plants are concerned and the effect on our landscaping, that many times a quick freeze, you know, overnight you have a freeze, you dip into maybe the high 20s. And the next day, well, you're back to the 40s or the 50s.
Right.
But this just lingers, these 20-degree night temperatures. So it's going to be very interesting to see what the effect is on our plants. And as we've always said on the garden line, and we'll talk about pruning and all that in a minute, but if you get into this type of weather, and you look at your yard and see the things that are turning brown, you want to get out there and whack at them with your pruners.
Right.
You really do. But you should not do that. We don't want to do that for various reasons, which we will talk about. As a matter of fact, it's really interesting. I found an article written by Molly Jameson, who is one of our great Extension Service people. And the topic of her paper was, brown is a color, too.
Oh.
And brown is a color also.
Okay, because every time I see brown, I cringe. I think, uh-oh, I've done something wrong again.
Yeah, and she says, as we all have, we look out in our yard and we see a lot of the perennials, which are just, I mean, they're just down. Elephant ears, banana plants. My lantana, it looks horrible. Agapanthus, those perennial plants that come back year after year, are brown. Are brown.
This is a tough year for them.
Oh, it is. But Miss Jameson says, wait a minute. She says, that's not so bad. She says, you've got to consider the protection that the foliage provides to the plant itself. The plant's crown and its buds underneath are protected by that dead foliage up top. And this is interesting also, it makes a habitat for some of the birds and wild animals. Wild animal, that's what she says. Anyway, she says it can be beautiful.
Huh.
She says the brown plants that you think are dead could have shades. I'm going to read this because I couldn't remember all these together. Amber, cinnamon, terracotta, burgundy, chocolate, and gold.
Wow. Okay.
This may be a little, I admire the article, but this could be a little bit of a reach. Okay. So anyway, she says the frost protection is very, very important. And plants like ginger and firebush and bananas and such as that look awfully bad after the freeze, but do not prune them back. So she ends her article with something I thought was kind of almost philosophical. She says this. I'm going to read it to you. It's one sentence. You'll have to learn to appreciate the winter brown, which requires a small mindset shift. It asks us to value patience over order and function over perfection.
Ooh, that could be applied to so many things besides gardening. That's a good one.
Anyway, this article put in a lot of thought. I personally don't like all the brown out there.
I feel like it's a sign of something dying, quite frankly.
Well, but on our perennials, like the plants we just mentioned, they really are not dying. But if you get out there and you start pruning them back, one, you don't know how far to prune them. You don't know what's dead and what's not. And you start pruning them back this time of year in Pensacola. You know, we can have this week of cold, but we can have the next week, we could be up in the 70s.
I know.
So what happens to that plant that you cut back? Puts on new growth.
Oh.
And what happens in February?
We get another freeze. Yeah.
And it knocks back that new growth, which is not good for the plant.
Right.
So the lesson to be learned from the article, brown is a color too, is to enjoy the brown.
Okay.
Because it's something that's probably good for us overall. No doubt about it.
If you just joined us, this is Pep Talk, and this is The Garden Line. We're here every Tuesday from 9 to 10 with Mike Wiggins. He's our gardening expert. And last week, you couldn't be here with us.
How did you and Paul do?
I wanted to give a shout out to Paul with Blue Sky Landscaping. He came in, and boy, we had the phones, he had questions, and people didn't know what was going on. He just did a super job. So
he's a
shout
good guy.
Out to Paul, because
he
really did a great job.
I really appreciate him sitting in for me.
Yeah, he did. He's very knowledgeable.
Well, I like doing the show with him.
Yeah, we need to bring him back.
When the two of us are here, we have a good time.
Yeah, and I had somebody from the Santa Rosa County Extension Office last week, too.
Oh, did you really?
Yes, so I'm going to give you the name and number, because he said he'd love to come on the show and talk about stuff.
Course.
And he works very closely with Beth at Escambia County.
Yeah,
so we're talking about that, too.
Well, good. That's all fun.
That will be
great. And, of course, as we get out of January into February, we get through February, we get into March, we can even almost say we're into springtime, because we'll get a little bit of springtime weather, and that just unlocks the system of things that we need to do gardening-wise as we get into April and then into May. It's a fun place to garden.
All right. Well, we're already getting questions on the garden line, so all you have to do is text in your question at 850-437-1620. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with Mike in just a minute on Pep Talk. Welcome back to the Garden Line on Pep Talk with Mike Wiggins. Got lots of texts rolling in, so if you've got a question for Mike, 850-437-1620. We were just talking about Paul with Blue Sky Landscaping, Mike, and he did send in a comment. He's always so knowledgeable. We were talking about seeing brown on your plants. And he said, good morning. I actually just learned that some of our pollinators hibernate in the hollow brown grass and perennial stems.
Absolutely.
That's interesting.
That's what we were saying. That was one of Molly's points in her article.
Yeah.
Is that the wildlife, is benefits
yeah.
from those brown foliage that should not be cut off. Exactly.
Well, nature is really incredible, yeah. isn't it?
But let me say something. One, I want to thank Paul for sitting in for me last week. He was great. He's always great. And I just look forward to having him come on the show
yes.
with us together. And that should really be fun. But we also need to say, you need to remember that Paul has a real job. He's with Blue Sky Landscaping. So if you have a big landscaping project and need some expertise, Paul's your man.
Yes, absolutely.
Blue Sky Landscaping.
Absolutely. Okay, the texts are rolling in. If you've got a question about gardening or your lawn or anything of that nature, just text it in at 850-437-1620 because we know that Mike is definitely our expert on gardening. So this one comes in from Marcus. He's one of our regular listeners. Good morning, Marcus. He says, hey, Mike, me again with ryegrass questions, hopefully the last, LOL. I planted seed in late November, started looking great a few weeks ago, cut it twice. He said, last Friday, AT&T installed fiber in my neighborhood and dug up my yard.
Oh, yes.
I'm so sorry. Is it too late to reseed where they destroyed the right-of-way portion of my yard? It's a significant area that is now sandy dirt.
Absolutely not too late.
Oh, good.
No problem at all. I would get the ryegrass, put it out kind of thick, maybe, let's say 7 to 10 pounds per 1,000 square feet. That's what I would do. Kind of scratch it in other with your rake. And then water it. I'd water it every day for
even in
of
this
days.
Cold.
Well, I was going to qualify that. If we're dipping into the 20s at night, you don't want to go ahead and water it then. But we're going to warm up here very soon because that ryegrass will come up very quickly because obviously it thrives in this cold weather.
Mm-hmm.
And when the heat comes, like we were talking about, jumping ahead to April and May, where we really want to be, it's going to burn up. That's why. Ryegrass is so good because it gives you that green color in the winter, but it also, in many cases, controls erosion. And so it's a good product to use, and it is not too late to put it out. The only thing I would suggest is, I'm sure if you still have some, Marcus, at home, then just obviously go ahead and use what you had before. But when you go buy some ryegrass, be sure you buy current year ryegrass.
Oh,
that has
that's important.
A high germination rate, so most of the seed that you put out will come up. So, yes, not too late.
Okay, and Marcus just responded with a text to you, Mike. He says, thanks as always, and then he's with a smile, and he says, maybe I'll plant rock next season.
Well, you know what? You know, rocks have their own problem.
Yeah, it's a whole other show, isn't it?
I always said, you know, you can mulch and landscape with some tiny rocks. Unless you've got some young children in your
right.
in your household who are going to love to pick those rocks mm-hmm. up and throw them, and so
put them back.
Yeah, exactly. Aww. So yeah, Marcus, I think I'd stick with the ryegrass.
There you go. Okay, we had another question coming in, and if you do have a question for Mike, anything goes. 850-437-1620. And this is something we have talked about before, Mike. This is one from one of our listeners. When should you weed and feed zoysia?
Well, let me make one word comment, then I'll explain what I mean. I would say never.
Because I know the answer a little bit. You go ahead.
No, take over, Meg.
No. I've learned a few things since I've been here.
No, the deal is you don't want to use a weed and feed product. What you want to do is, and here we are mid-February. I mean, here we are so cold. The last thing you're thinking about is putting something on your yard. But mid-February, maybe a little later, you want to put your pre-emergence weed control. That's going to keep those springtime, summer weeds from coming up. And you've got to do it early because, like we just said a minute ago, once we get into the next couple of months and we get into some 70, maybe even 80-degree temperatures, those weeds are going to jump up. If you'll put that pre-emergence weed control on mid-February, it will inhibit many of those weeds. It's not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I wish it was, but it's not perfect. But the last thing you want to do in February is to put any type of fertilizer. That's why the weed and feed term, we just hardly ever want to recommend it here. The weeding part, the pre-emergence, yes. The feeding part, no. You want to wait till April, maybe even May, to fertilize your yard.
Okay.
So it's two separate applications when the time comes. But I'm telling you, after this cold weather, it's going to feel kind of funny out there putting putting some weed killer on your yard.
Yeah.
And I would say this, with these low temperatures that are sticking with us, we might have some of the weeds that really have already appeared, annual weeds, be affected by this cold, which
is
good.
That might be a good thing, yeah.
Which is good, absolutely. So we'll have to see. And it's just like the effect on plants. I never forget when we had the cold, the real cold weather back, I don't know, maybe in the 80s when we went down to single digits. So many of our plants were affected. But they were, way they were affected, Meg, is the bark was split on the plant.
Okay.
And so you did not see any damage till summertime. Never forget, I had a customer call me. He had Japanese yews flanking his front steps. Call me in, June, July. He said, they're just dying. Why are they dying? It's one of the hardiest plants we have. And I said, well, let's check that right near ground level and see if some of that bark has been split because of that cold weather. Sure enough, that's what it was, and there's nothing you can do.
Wow, okay. We've got lots of questions rolling in, Mike, so we're going to try to get to everybody this morning. 850-437-1620. We got to take a quick break, but we'll be right back on The Garden Line on Pep Talk. Welcome back to The Garden Line with Pep Talk and Mike Wiggins. Just a couple minutes here before we head into the news, Mike. So we got a question from Vicki. She says, when can I safely plant a crepe myrtle?
Oh, this is a great time to do it.
Oh, really? Even in the cold?
Oh, yes. That's not a problem. We want to plant our trees, and I have a whole list of trees. We need to get time one day. We're going to go through them. But the cold weather will mean the plant will not go into shock when you plant it. In other words, you plant that crepe myrtle in August, you can have some problems. Any tree, really, quite frankly, any plant, if you're not very careful with enough water and all of that. So the point is, on a deciduous plant, like a crepe myrtle, loses its leaves, that's why it's deciduous, you can do it in the cold weather. I always used to say, when somebody asked me that same question, I say, let's find the coldest, nastiest day of the year and go ahead and plant it. So, yes, I think you could do it right now and do it very successfully. Yes.
Wow. Okay. That's interesting. I never would have thought that.
Oh, yeah. Now, one thing also is talking about pruning. You can also go ahead and prune your crepe myrtles now. I like doing it in February. I do. And so you could go ahead and prune them. Now, remember the words we don't want to use. Crepe murder. We don't want to do that. We don't want to get that crepe myrtle and let's say it's 10 feet tall and you take it down to 3 feet. It'll live. It'll put on new growth, but it's just not what you want. Prune back some of that growth from last year. That's your best bet.
And Vicki followed up with a quick text here. She says, okay, so with the cold weather, do I water it daily once I plant it?
I wouldn't worry about watering it daily, but I would certainly, when you plant it, you know, I like to put a little peat moss in the hole with the tree and then water it very, very good when you plant it. And I would come back within the week and water it again. Just matter of fact, I wouldn't stand here and water it. I would get the hose once the freezing weather is gone. Get your hose and drag it over to that new crepe myrtle and let it just dribble on it for a couple of hours. Get that water real deep. That's where the roots are going to use it. So that's how I would handle that.
But you probably wouldn't want to do it when we're going to go down to 20 degrees.
If it's going to go down to 20, I don't think I would do that.
Yeah, that's probably not a good idea. But it's only going to be this week, I think, from the forecast.
Well, I hope so. Yeah, I hope so.
That's what we're hoping.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, you don't want to do it if it's going to freeze. But, yes, you need to water it best you can. But it will be able to handle a little less water because of when we're planting it here in the cool winter.
Gotcha. Okay, we're with Mike Wiggins on The Garden Line. When we come back for the next half hour, we're going to be talking about this cold weather and some tips on how you can protect your plants, the do's and don'ts. I saw some interesting things over the weekend, Mike.
Oh, I can't wait to hear that.
This is Pep Talk in The Garden Line, 850-437-1620.
I really can't
but
stay.
But baby, it's cold outside.
I've gotta go away.
But baby, it's cold outside.
Been hoping that
you. Hoping that you'd drop in.
So very nice.
I'll hold your hand.
Yes, sir, baby. It's cold outside. Good morning. This is Pensacola's expert panel, Pep Talk and the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. I'm Meg, and we are always having fun talking about gardening.
Well,
and,
before,
and you've come into my world now, Mike.
Now before we talk about gardening, who is the female voice? Record?
It says it's Frank. It's a very young picture of Frank Sinatra.
Oh,
I mean, he looks
yes.
about 18 here.
Right. I wonder who
and
she is.
Dorothy Kirsten, it says.
I've never heard of
what
her.
What a great voice, though. That classic 1940s.
And how they sing together.
Mm-hmm. Just, I love it.
That's
I love
a classic.
It. I love all that. That's the classic Christmas album, it says.
Absolutely.
So.
Very good.
Okay, so you have now become part of my life, Mike, because when I drive down, I'm looking at plants. When I drive around Pensacola, I'm looking at trees. So I was coming back from the opera the other night. I think it was on Bayou, but I'm not quite sure. I almost had a car wreck because as I looked to the right, there were these giant, it looked like giant big white balloons in somebody's front yard. And they were side by side. And they were coming, they looked like they were yellow and orange and huge. I thought, oh my, at first I thought it was a Halloween kind of decoration because it was so big. And I turned to my friend and said, what is that? And she said, and she's a big girl. She said, oh no, that's probably somebody's protecting their plants and probably have heaters. And I thought, oh, okay. I said, oh, I'm going to have to ask Mike about that.
Well, that's really, I haven't seen that now. That's my neighborhood, so I'm going to go by
but it was
this
almost,
afternoon
it was
and look,
huge,
take a look at that.
But I thought, she said, I think they probably have heaters on.
Well, have heaters, but you know, if you don't want to go to all that trouble of a heater, if you could just run an extension cord out there and put a light bulb under the cover. But like I think we said, when was it, a couple of weeks ago, you just don't want to do the lollipop effect.
Right. Explain that, because this is pretty important.
It's very important. A lollipop effect is when you get your cover. Let's say it's a sheet, an old bed sheet, that you've covered the plant, the foliage on the plant, and then tied it right underneath the foliage on the trunk. Mm-hmm. So the whole trunk is exposed.
Okay.
Well, to cause a lollipop effect, for obvious reasons, there you've got the trunk, and you've got this... like a lollipop, what can I say? But in any event, you don't want to do that. You want to take that cover all the way to the ground and then maybe, 3 or 4 feet all the way around it, let it anchor it with some rocks or some bricks or pavers or something on that order, just so the wind doesn't blow it off.
Right.
But a lot of that heat is going to come out of the ground. And so if you do that lollipop effect, you're really not going to get much help from that heat coming from the ground. Now, the one you saw, I can't wait to look at that.
Yeah,
because
that was
I wonder if they had a light bulb in
something,
that.
Something, because it was lit
cover.
Up, definitely.
Yeah, I just wonder how they blew it up.
You know, it looked like it was full of air.
Yeah,
that was
exactly.
The thing.
Maybe they've done that.
Maybe it was the heater blowing
exactly.
hot air or something, because it looked like a big bubble.
Right.
The other one I saw yesterday, it's all definitely on Bayou, is a kind of a row of palm trees, but they had it... it looked like they had canvas type material, and it was, as you look at the palms, so you've got the great big trunk, the stem, and then the big palms. But just beneath the palm, they had it all wrapped around with this canvas looking white stuff, but just underneath the palm, that was it. Not the rest of the tree, not the top of the tree, just that one area.
I'm not sure what.
And that was kind of weird.
I'm not
looking.
Sure what benefit that would be. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
You say that's on Bayou Boulevard
yes.
too? Okay, I've got a road trip. We'll go see.
Because it didn't sound like anything right. you had recommended, and I thought, well, that's interesting. I wonder if that's unique to the palm tree.
I would need to look into that one.
Okay.
I'm not sure what they're doing there. But going back to the balloons that you saw,
yeah, they were
you know,
huge.
Now keep in mind, I'm assuming, let's just assume
right.
that it is a plastic-like balloon that they blew up somehow.
Mm-hmm.
That's still plastic. And if we got into the 40s and then back into the 50s, and that's plastic, you should take that off.
Right.
Take it off the plant because it can literally burn it up. You don't want that going on.
It might have been almost looked like a sheet. It was kind of a something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was plastic. I didn't look at it that long because I almost wrecked my car when I first saw it because it was so scary. And huge.
These homeowners who did this are probably going to be mad at us.
Oh,
because
no.
Because with all the listeners to the Garden Line, you're going to have a traffic jam going down by a boulevard saying, what is going on? And I'll be one of them.
I know, that's so funny. So you're in my world now. I can't just look at
okay,
the plant
I do
anymore.
I do the same thing.
Not ask questions.
I do the same thing.
Okay, we got another question that just came in on the pep talk line. It's 850-437-1620. Little different subject. I had beautiful pine straw beds a month ago, and now it looks like winter weeds are growing in. Will they die back when it warms up?
Well, you're probably going to need to treat that. If it's a pine straw bed, okay, the only way I think you can really control those weeds would be when it warms up, whatever's there, you can spray it with a Roundup solution. Now, it's really weird. The Roundup solution, the hotter it is, the better it works. The old rumors, it's a urban legend, would say if you sprayed Roundup, say on even your St. Augustine grass when it was totally dormant in the winter, it wouldn't do any damage. Don't do it. Whatever you do, don't do it. But the point is, that's when you can control it chemically. Now, some of the weeds could be affected by this cold weather. I think we're all sitting ready to look at that, see how that affected. I've got a little portion in the side yard that has some of the winter weeds coming up. I look forward to seeing how this cold has affected them. My knee-jerk reaction is probably not too much. We're going to have to deal with them when the time comes.
Right, but just going to leave it alone for now?
I think so. You certainly don't want to go out and spray anything right now. That's not going to work. But in your pine straw bed, Roundup is a great way to control grassy weeds that come up spring, summer, whatever.
Okay. We've got a question coming in from our good friend Carolyn. Good morning, Carolyn. She says, she's got two questions, so we'll start with this one. During this cold snap, do I need to cover my roses?
Oh, no. No, I wouldn't do that, no. But it is almost time to prune those roses. And, okay, Meg, test time.
Oh, no.
Here it is. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. What date do we look for to prune our roses?
Valentine's Day.
You are so good.
Yay, I got it.
And that's coming up real soon.
I know. It's hard to believe. Just a couple of weeks away.
And there's some tricks to that, too. Mm. Not tricks, but some methods you should use. A lot of your roses, you want to go ahead and cut them down, you know, especially get all the dead branches off and the crossing branches, and maybe cut them down to, let's say 2 to 3 feet, maybe even a little bit more. But if you're going to cut some of the canes, some of the larger canes, which you want to keep, those are the ones you really want to keep. If you'll cut it right above a bud, that you'll be able to see it on the cane, right above the bud, and cut it, that cane, at a 45-degree angle. Because what that does, Meg, if it rains or you water them, that water will sit on it if it's flat.
Oh.
But that 45 degrees, the water will obviously won't
That's
stick.
So smart.
It's just one little thing, but it really,
Those
really makes a big difference.
Those are the things people don't tell you.
Oh, that's right. Now, also.
That's very smart.
Remember, was it last couple of weeks ago we talked about things to do in the winter?
Mm-hmm.
Be sure your pruners are sharp. You don't want them to be dull. And every now and then it might be a good idea to replace them. I really like Corona hand shears. And they make some smaller ones and some bigger ones. I like the ones that are still hand shears, but they're the larger type.
Mm-hmm.
It'll make a big difference.
Okay, great questions coming in. Carolyn's got another one, and we've got a few more, so we'll try to get to all of them this morning. This is The Garden Line on Pep Talk with Mike Wiggins, 850-437-1620. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. We're going to try to get to all these questions, so I'm going to apologize in advance if we don't get to you. But we had a good question that came in that Mike wanted to answer, and this one is from one of our listeners. He or she says, I'm surprised to hear you're promoting Roundup, given all the problems that are created for the environment. What other alternatives do you suggest for killing weeds that are effective but won't ruin our environment or give us cancer?
That is a great question. Roundup is a trade name for weed killer, okay? The Roundup that has had all the litigation and that is suspect in causing problems, both human and environmentally, was a chemical called glyphosate. Roundup was glyphosate. That was the chemical. Glyphosate the Roundup people took glyphosate away. So when you go to your garden center or a big box store and you see Roundup on the shelf, it no longer is glyphosate. It's a different formulation. Now, I totally agree that you need to look at that and make your own decisions on Roundup. If you had asked me, should I use glyphosate, I agree with the person who texted. I think I'd steer clear of that, especially if you may find some on a shelf somewhere. Don't read that fine print, that fine print on that label. I don't think you're going to find it anymore because it's got a new weed-killing formulation, which is just like glyphosate, supposedly. I will say that because I, you know, you have to kind of go with what the the experts say.
In theory, not as toxic.
Not as toxic, but you and I can't sit here on the garden line and say that.
Right.
So you really need to make your own decisions. Here's what else you might want to consider, and this is really kind of basic, and I do this.
Okay.
I've got a flower bed back by my back fence that I just keep it in cypress mulch.
Mm-hmm.
This time of year, and during the winter, I get the weeds that start coming up. Well, in the interest of doing it safely, I just weed eat them down.
Oh.
I get my weed eater, I go out there, and I knock them down and then do a little remulch on top of that. That's kind of old school, but I feel good about doing that because I totally agree. When it comes to these chemicals, we all have to remember they are they're toxic. They're chemicals, and you've got to read the label to be sure what you're doing is right. You wear gloves, a long sleeve shirt. I have an old pair of running shoes. I call them my weed killer shoes. you really need. We all have masks at home now after COVID. Wear a mask.
Yeah.
And so really, you need to be very, very cognizant of the fact of these chemicals can cause problems if you don't follow those directions to the label. But backing up a step, do not ever, ever buy a Roundup if the label says glyphosate. And keep in mind, a lot of other companies sold product under different names.
Right.
But they did the same thing. They killed those plants. They were systemic and went through the plant into the roots. That's why they work so good. And this new product does the same thing. But be so careful.
Great question. We appreciate that question.
I appreciate the question because I totally agree with that, that how careful we've got to be on the chemicals we use. So,
okay. We've got more questions to get to this morning. We're going to do our best. This one, Mike says, like most, this is coming in from Janet. She says, like most, I've disconnected my outdoor hoses and wrapped some insulation around the hose bibs. I've confirmed with my plumber that as if it's a week. I've confirmed with my plumber that it will have at least another week plus of freezing nights every few days. Is it a good idea to unwrap and run some water and then recover?
I agree. I would do that also. I did talk to a fellow the other day. He said, Mike, what you need to do is promote, I guess it was Lowe's that might have had it. It's just a little gizmo that fits right over your faucet. And then you tie it up.
Oh.
And everything you need to do it is right there. You don't have to go get a material to wrap around your faucet and duct tape it or tie it, whatever you do. He said, it is so easy to slip it on. And it'll protect that hose bib from any kind of freeze damage.
Well, I have a tip from my own experience.
Ooh.
I used to have a sprinkler system in my yard, and a freeze came, and I did not turn off the sprinkler system. So I completely iced my entire yard.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And basically just about killed everything, just so you know. So make sure your sprinkler system
so
is
it came
turned.
So it came on.
Oh, yeah.
During the cold.
Yes. And just covered everything with ice.
Well, you know what? We are in the business of giving advice, and that is excellent advice. Turn that sprinkler system off.
Yes, for right now. One more question from Carolyn. She says, Mike, is there a sweet kumquat that comes as a dwarf, and when would be the right time to plant it, if so?
I'm going to say probably so. I don't know for sure. A kumquat is a good citrus, if you will, to plant in regards to cold weather. It'll take a little colder weather than some of the other citrus. I would do this. I would call my friend Larry out at Pensacola Seed and Garden, who He knows his citrus, and see if he by chance has one. And if he does, he'll tell you all about it. But I would think there is a dwarf variety of a kumquat, which would probably be very good for a container, to plant it in a container. That way you wouldn't have to worry about the cold weather. You can haul the container in.
Right.
Of course, all of the people who used to haul in my containers are now grandchildren in college. So what do I do now?
Well, I don't have any good advice for you on that one, sir.
Nobody does.
This is The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. We're going to be back in just a few minutes. Still time for a few more questions at 850-437-1620. This is Pep Talk. Back with Mike Wiggins on The Garden Line and Pep Talk. Just a few minutes left. Mike, anything you want to mention about this cold weather? And we've had some great questions this morning, and I'm sorry if we didn't get to everybody,
well,
but we kind of ran out of time.
We just really have to talk about, you know, the four Ps.
Yes.
You know, people, pipes.
Pets.
Pets and plants.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, and we all know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
We do. And just want people to be careful. You know, if we lost electricity, please don't run that generator in the garage.
Oh, gosh, no.
Just don't want to have it 10 feet off the house.
Watch out for that carbon monoxide.
If you possibly can, you need to do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be very, very careful. And
We've been pretty lucky here as far as that goes, I think, in terms of power outages. We didn't really get the ice here.
That's right.
So that's a good thing.
And that's if the ice gets on the limbs break, you get on the power lines, and there you go. But you're right. I saw a little piece from... I think it was from Atlanta this morning, and they were talking about the power outages and the limbs, you know, and we all promote trees. We want as many trees as we can have in our environment, but you also do have to face that, and that's one reason I think you need to get with your tree surgeon before hurricane season.
Right.
That's a different ball game there. That's wind. And go ahead and prune, for example, your live oak, and prune it so it's kind of open. These tree surgeons can do that where it doesn't look like it's been butchered.
Right.
But they can make it so the wind will come through it and not act like a sail on a sailboat and take those limbs off. So I think a call to your tree surgeon. I have a big live oak in my front yard. I try to do it every 2 years.
Okay.
Have him come in and look at it and kind of thin it out. Because if it fell...
It would be bad.
Be in my living room.
Yeah, no, that's not good.
that is not good.
All right.
That is not good.
Thank you, Mike.
Oh, thank you, Meg. It's always fun.
You've been great this morning. It's always a pleasure to hear so much and share all your knowledge with us. And if you want to hear this broadcast again, you can go to the podcast page on newsradio923.com.